Robert Scott the Bell
Robert
Show.
Scott Bell Show.
Wake up, up, up.
Good morning, Vietnam!
Rise and shining. Wakey, waking.
Good morning.
Wake up, up, up.
Good morning. Good morning to you.
And you.
And you.
Robert Scott Bell. You are listening to the Robert Scott Bell Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Scott Bell Show.
Today, health insurance reform is the law of the land.
The health care law was supposed to keep medical costs down, but a new report says your payments are expected to jump.
I think I made a mistake.
Robert Scott Bell.
A coalition of public health advocates targeting Ronald McDonald.
I'd love to see Ronald McDonald retired. Let's kill him off like we did Joe Camel.
Robert Scott Bell.
Side effects may include depressed mood,
thoughts of suicide,
insomnia,
suicide may occur,
diarrhea,
unusual or strange dreams, agitation,
sexual side effects,
drowsiness, dizziness,
and nausea,
hostility,
trouble sleeping,
seizures,
serious skin reactions,
thoughts of suicide,
risk of suicide may occur.
Oh yeah, drugs. You gotta have drugs.
Taking on bureaucrats and corporations that would stand in the way of health freedom and making sense out of medical propaganda. The voice of health, freedom, and liberty, Robert Scott Bell.
Well, by now you probably know we lost another one to the war on drugs. Another celebrity gone down. Actually, it's not the war on drugs. It's a war on the wrong kind of drugs. They're trying to shoot up and destroy all the plants of planet Earth to provide pharmaceutical pseudo-synthetic substances that are going to take the place of the medicine of creation. Of course, it's not working out so well for Hollywood celebrities. Rest in peace, Whitney Houston. Whitney Houston, along with many others, Heath Ledger over the years. We've covered so many. I mean, I've been on there since 1999. How many celebrities, much less non-celebrities, have to die of FDA-approved medication? You know, this is not advanced medicine, what they're doing there. And the FDA is going after you if you simply want to grow a plant in your backyard, do something with it. How crazy is that, huh? How many things did they find in Whitney Houston's place? There's a big story on Natural News about it, too, and it's linking through all the stories that are out there talking about lorazepam, Valium, Xanax, sleeping medications, different things. And this is, she was troubled, we know that. And there are a lot of people that have lost their way. It would be certainly nicer, let's just say, if she was utilizing essential fatty acids, homeopathic medicines. I mean, the things we cover with advanced medicine with Dr. Bitar every Monday, or that which we do with the Healing Revolution with Dr. King every Friday, that alone would have been huge. Should tell you that being a celebrity, being super wealthy, you're not protected from depression, anxiety, and these things if you don't know how to deal with it. And of course, you reach for drugs. Not you, but Whitney Houston certainly did. And not even necessarily the illegal kind, but it'll be shown probably in the autopsy based on all the different prescription drugs she had. She'll be another casualty to the FDA's massive approval process and the drug culture in which we live, right? And this is the hypocrisy of the drug war. On one hand, they don't want you to take any drugs, however natural, out of creation, and yet they encourage you, incredibly so, with the drug monopoly here, the state religion of modern medicine, to take as many of your drugs. And you keep on them, and of course, they'll even put you in jail. They'll take away your children if you're not giving them drugs that they say you should be on. How upside down backwards is that? And then if a kid, God forbid, has cancer of some kind, they say, oh my gosh, you have to have chemotherapy, and the kid survives the first round, and you decide, and he decides, and she decides, we're not doing that again. They will take you away. Hey, it's a good story, though. Good story, though. My dear friend Amy McCrory and Steve, they are out there helping to promote the Health Freedom Expo. They have made the acquaintance of a fan of the Robert Scott Bell Show, from what I understand, out of England, out of Australia, Laura Bond. And she has a great story from her mum, right? They say mom? No, they say mum over there. My mum's not having chemo, or mum's not having chemo. We're going to hear from Laura Bond after the break and talk about some positive things of a woman who said, no chemo for me, no thank you. And there's good news to that story. So we got that going on. Also, we hope to have Dr. Bitarin from Australia, but there's a chance that we might have to do a rebroadcast of the second hour show. We might not know until literally the top of the hour because of the time zone difference, other side of the world, you know. But if we can connect to him anytime this week, whether it's next hour or next day, we will make it happen. And, of course, that's what we do here on the United States and World of Health Talk Radio, sometimes even known as the Robert Scott Bell Show. You know, on Sundays I call it the United States of Health Talk Radio. On Monday through Friday that we do here with Natural News Radio, I talk about it being the United States and World of Health Talk Radio. It really is. It's amazing to me, people listening from all over, from Australia to Asia to Europe, England, etc. So welcome, everybody. There are no cheap seats here on the Robert Scott Bell Show, whether you listen the first airing at noon Eastern time every day, Monday through Friday, or whether you listen to every 2 hours at rebroadcasts, and then after that, available for great gobs of downloads around planet Earth with the archive system over there at naturalnewsradio.com. All the show links up at robertscottbell.com. Also, when you're at naturalnewsradio.com, if should you be listening through there, enter your email address. Be kind enough to do that, and we'll send you out your daily blast that leads you back also to robertscottbell.com. And don't forget the vaccine seminar to end all vaccine seminars with John Rappaport. I'll have John on this week as well to talk more about the things that we were able to do in bringing information all in one place about the whole history of vaccines and all the nasty, dirty little secrets that they want to keep from you so that you will be protected. Your family, your kids, your loved ones, your grandkids will be protected as well. Now, on yesterday's show, I had a great opportunity to interview Bruce Fein, who's a Harvard law professor, and he's a real constitutional guy, not the phony one, about the Ron Paul campaign, the movement back to liberty, and what's happening there. I hope you'll get a chance to listen to it. I might be able to play excerpts later. We'll see. But that was great. Also, we had some questions come in off of yesterday's show I thought I would acknowledge on the air today. But I have the link in today's show blog notes. Usually during the week, I'll let you link to the GCN show just in case you missed, because I know there's a crossover audience. Some of you travel back and forth. Some of you don't, or only here at Natural News Radio. So I'd love it if you'd go and give a listen to that as well, because there's a lot of great information that 5 days a week can't contain. And so we kick off with the Sunday version of the Robert Scott Bell Show through Genesis Communications Network. I had a very interesting question here from a guy named E.T. Now, I don't know if he was E.T. phone home, but E.T. He says, talking about eating food that is devoid of any nutrition. You know, and I talk about that, eating minerally deficient foods. Not a good idea long term. You're going to end up minerally deficient, right? There's no minerals in it. Where are you going to get them? So this E.T. says, I don't know if what you said is entirely accurate. Bear with me here. If what you eat is entirely devoid of any nutrition, then your body won't be getting what it needs. But that in and of itself won't cause the vitamins and minerals to be depleted. This is E.T. talking now. Now, we know that the body both excretes and secretes its contents over time. And if those contents aren't constantly being replaced, absorbed by way of nutrition, then there will be a net deficit for those over time. Ergo, if you consume a non-nutritional substance or even one with reduced nutritional value, there's simply no way that those will cause a depletion of what you already have. Rather, as before, you'll not be getting what you should. The way he wrote it, it sounds like he's also from Great Britain. I don't know E.T., but I wrote him back on the web, but I thought it'd be interesting. I said, E.T., listen, your body uses minerals in the normal course of all cellular metabolism, right? Just the act of breathing, every act requires some level of mineral use, electrical signals, utilizing the stores of minerals that you have. If you consume on a diet of empty calories, it will indeed, despite what you say, deplete your mineral stores that, of course, must be replaced. Now, when those stores are used up, you're hosed if you're not getting minerals from some food source somewhere, somehow. Or, at the very least, if you could take the ancient rock crystal salts, convert it into a brine, and put it in some water or juice or something to get minerals in via, you know, the salt of the earth, so to speak. If those empty calorie foods you consume also contain, this is the kicker that on the ET didn't address, if those empty calorie foods you consume also contain synthetic additives, preservatives, flavorings, colorings, pesticides, herbicides, fungicides, and the like, then your mineral reserves will most definitely be depleted at an ever-accelerating rate, because your body utilizes those minerals like selenium in defense of the toxic poisons over time, even if those toxic poisons are only coming in at very minute levels, like parts per million. Remember, it's not one thing coming in at parts per million that you got to be worried about. It's thousands and thousands and thousands of these things coming in at that level. And in that way, your body will be relinquishing minerals in the act of basically defending itself. That you cannot overlook. Like classic empty calorie, Hostess Twinkie. I don't know if they're going to make them anymore. We covered that story a while back. But it's not that Twinkies are devoid of minerals and trace minerals. That's bad enough. But they have additives, preservatives, colorings, flavorings, all of these things we talk about. And your body has to deal with that. And these things can destroy enzymes. These things can destroy your endocrine system, cells, alter DNA. In fact, that's where we talk about gene expression based on environment, epigenetics. You put poisons in your body's going to have to adapt to survive those poisons. And it takes stuff to do it. And yes, I recognize energy is ultimately the process of digestion releasing, you know, that which is utilized as energy in the body. But in order to have the energy, in order to have the electrical activity, in order to be the copper top, which is not real accurate, but that was the matrixy kind of thing, we've got to have the minerals present to do that. So as an answer to ET, you can read about it on the website at robertscottbell.com if you have any questions or comments on that or anything at any time. 866-939-BELL. 866-939-2355. By the way, congratulations to all the Robert Scott Bell Show listeners from Friday's show when we were finally able to air the interview with Dr. Charles Richards on the psychology of wealth. Your book will be on its way sometime this week, and I appreciate you calling that number and letting us know how it went for you, how you enjoyed it. Also, I did get one, I don't know if it was a negative feedback to the interview, but off of the website, somebody posted at robertscottbell.com about Dr. Charles Richards' mention of Barack Obama. I love your show. Hi, Robert. This comes from Gordon. I love your show and have meant to contact you many times. For now, I'd just like to point out that your guest today in the second hour, Dr. Charles Richards, mentioned the president and his mother and that what he amounted to something on account of a disciplined upbringing by his mother, e.g. up at 5 in the morning, nothing about the president's family connection with the CIA, etc., and the real reasons for his success. All right, listen, Gordon, I know that. It was a fleeting comment, and I didn't feel like I was going to go into that. It wouldn't have served the purpose of the interview. But, yeah, I get you. Yeah, there's a lot of mystery surrounding Barack Obama, another Manchurian candidate, if there ever was one. But the subject matter was more or less about abundance, consciousness, changing views, and keeping it as positive as possible. You know, sometimes we can get bogged down with wanting to pick out every little nuance of something that goes wrong. And that, you know, listen, there are a lot of people out there in many communities that are still under the mass hypnosis or still like the guy. I want to give him the benefit of the doubt, et cetera, et cetera. I could say I don't have a lot of patience for that, which is true. But at the same time, weren't we once all there? Wasn't there a time, I mean, if you weren't, okay, congratulations, but wasn't there a time in your life, Gordon, that you were duped and that you didn't know all the things that you know now or that we might know or that we relate to you or the things you read about on natural news? And I sure would like to have as many of those people come along to our side of the perspective, the viewpoint, if you will, where the grass is greener, the water's warmer, and the love for the vitamin L, as we call it, flows a lot more freely without being corrupted by big government, big media, big pharma, and the pharmaceutical and medical and including the war-making machinery, the military-industrial complex, of course. So, yes, I acknowledge it, but I elected to make it. I'm not even going to bother. Let's carry on with the interview and keep it real in that realm. And, of course, if you've heard this show for any length of time, you know I am under no illusion or delusion about Barack Obama and his reason for being, any more than I was under the delusion or illusion that George Bush was a conservative before him. And you know, to Gordon's credit, he says, I realize that you're sometimes in a delicate position with guests, but I think the point is worth raising, given all the harm the president and his handlers have perpetrated against the American and the world's people. Yes, the war-making machinery is just as bad under Obama as it has been under Bush, maybe even worse. I acknowledge that as well. I also wonder, could this Dr. Richards in any way be receiving funds from any of the lousy U.S. government agencies that have been or are still so grossly harming Americans and so many other peoples of the world? Yes, this I can tell you for a fact, Gordon. Dr. Richards I've known for many years, at least 20 years, in fact. And there's no question he's not under the pay. He's not getting any payola from the U.S. government in regards to him writing his books on psychology. He did one on Karmic Relationships before, which was a sensational book for those that want to understand why certain relationships occur and how to have better relationships. So no, he is not under that influence. That for sure, I can tell you. Vet your guests carefully. Yes, I by and large do. And I don't tend to want to get guests on that I want to argue with because there's so much argumentativeness going on in the world that my show tends to take the tack that, you know, those people have all the other media to get that kind of garbage message out. So we largely take it to another realm. We're trying to balance out the 24/7 cycle of poison in the other media and detoxify you with the things we do here on the Robert Scott Bell Show. So Gordon, don't take me wrong here. I do appreciate you commenting on it. Just wanted to give you some perspective on the way we do things here on the Robert Scott Bell Show. And it isn't that I've never said, oh, whoa, wait a minute. Like occasionally I'll do an interview that somebody doesn't understand the whole aspect of HIV and AIDS, that HIV doesn't cause AIDS, for instance. And I'll stop and pause and say, by the way, want to acknowledge that we don't acknowledge the same perspective, but then we'll move on from there. Because to take it to that next level is not going to serve the purpose at that moment. Anyway, thanks for bearing with me with that explanation. I appreciate everybody calling in, writing in, emailing in, all the Facebook friends, etc. Tell your friends. Listen, we're going to take a break here. Laura Bond coming up next. She's wonderful. Mom's not having chemo. We'll tell you all about that story, and I'll be back to wrap up the hour after the interview. Thank you for being here. Rocking the health world as we do every day. Say thanks to our sponsors.
Hello, this is Jonathan Wagner. We have an internet website, www.choosetobehealthy.com, that carries many of the products discussed on Robert's show, including 100% whole food chromium and selenium, silica, as well as sovereign silver and Nordic naturals. Choosetobehealthy.com features the Rolls-Royce of probiotics. It's Dr. O'Hara's probiotics. Dr. O'Hara, a world-renowned microbiologist, formulated a unique probiotic that blends ancient Japanese fermentation methods with 21st century technology. No refrigeration is needed. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics contains the strongest lactic acid bacteria known to man based on scientific laboratory research. 6.25 times stronger. Quite simply, it works and works very well. So go to our website, www.choosetobehealthy.com, or call us toll-free, 866-424-1077. That's 866-424-1077. We're here to help.
For thousands of years, silver has played an essential role in safeguarding human health. Robert Scott Bell Show listeners know that Sovereign Silver, bioactive silver hydrosol, is the purest and most effective form of silver available. Only Sovereign Silver contains the smallest and most active particles in every bottle, each batch rigorously safety tested to guarantee the highest quality. At only 10 parts per million, Sovereign Silver outperforms other colloidal silvers 50 times more concentrated. Sovereign Silver acts faster than echinacea, oil of oregano, and other immune products. Tastes like water and has more uses than anything else for the immune system. And Sovereign Silver now comes in a topical first aid gel. Use Sovereign Silver gel on cuts, scrapes, minor burns, bug bites, itching, eczema, diaper rash, and more. Sovereign Silver is the number one selling silver brand in the U.S. For a free information packet to order or for a store near you, call 888-328-8840. That's 888-328-8840 or visit SovereignSilver.com.
Robert Scott Bell Show. Robert Scott Bell Show.
Some people ask me why I reference this show as the United States and world of health talk radio. Well, evidently the signal does get out there around planet Earth. And right now we've got someone from around this planet, pretty far across the pond. But as we speak, she's in the States and connected with me via my friend Amy McCrory. And she does a lot of the PR for Jonathan Emord and Waishali, who you've heard on this show. And she's doing a lot for the Health Freedom Expo. But we talk about Advanced Medicine Monday, and it's not about necessarily synthetic pharmaceutical medicine. In fact, advanced is going back to nature, going back to honoring detoxification protocols, etc. And right now, joined, I'd say, from Australia, from England, but now in the U.S. for a moment anyway on holiday, Laura Bond from MumsNotHavingChemo.com. How's that advanced medicine? Laura, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Robert. It's a pleasure to be on your show.
So it's true. The signal does reach all the way to England.
Absolutely. I have a lot of friends in Australia that read Natural News and that have listened to your show. You know, what you're doing is absolutely fantastic. You know, the high caliber of people and experts on your show is really impressive.
Well, in fact, I hope a lot of our Australia listeners are going to see Dr. Batar. He's down there right now, I think in Adelaide area, so maybe there's a chance they'll get to see him there as well.
Yeah. I've just been commissioned actually by a magazine in Australia to interview him about autism and the link between autism and vaccines. So I'm looking forward to that.
Oh, fantastic. Oh, how cool is that? Well, we plan to have, if we can get him, Dr. Batar via Australian Skype. So we're going to see about that next hour. But very cool to have you on board this hour to kick off Advanced Medicine Monday. Now, mumsnothavingchemo.com. I mean, mum, M-U-M is a British term. Instead of mom, it's mum. But I have this linked up through the blog. Tell me a little bit about the story of how this came about.
Well, basically, when Mum was first diagnosed with ovarian and uterine cancer, and I was back home in Australia, and when people found out, they were like, oh, I'm so sorry, and, you know, what's your mum doing? Is she having chemo? And I was like, no, Mum's not having chemo. And I felt like I was just on repeat saying this phrase, no, Mum's not having chemo, again and again. And you know, when I said it to people, they were just sort of shocked and speechless, and they just didn't get it. So part of the reason I started to write this blog was just to sort of explain the reasons Mum didn't want to go down that route, and also obviously to talk about all the other things she's doing and explain, you know, the benefits of intravenous vitamin C and in infrared saunas and all these things.
Well, in making that leap, was this something your mom had to come to reluctantly, or was she well aware by the time she got a cancer diagnosis that chemotherapy is not the way I want to go?
I mean, her whole life she's been into alternative medicine, and she's actually always said, if I ever get cancer, I'm not having chemo. So she really had to then, she was like, sort of had to stand by her words when she got the diagnosis. But I mean, those were literally the first words that flew out of her mouth when she was in the doctor's surgery, and her doctor said, well, you know, the bad news is you do have ovarian cancer. The very first thing Mum said is, well, I'm not having chemo. And this GP said to Mum, well, you're going to have to stand your ground because you're going to come under a lot of pressure. And boy, was she right. I mean, unbelievable pressure, mm-hmm. You know, from the oncological surgeon and from, you know, kind of everybody, you know, friends, other Chinese doctors, they were all shaking their heads just saying, you know, mm-hmm. How could you make this stupid decision? But, you know, Mum had seen her brother. He had leukemia, and he died in his 30s of leukemia, and he had rounds and rounds of chemotherapy, and, you know, it was a hellish last year for him. And I think that really, you know, after witnessing that, I think
sure.
that really...
You know. Anybody who's witnessed that kind of death by oncological medicine, so to speak, will think at least twice, if not 10 times, or like your mom has done, say, no, if I ever have cancer, I'm not going down that road. And, of course, you mentioned the pressure. I also have said many times that there is a world religion. Some people are shocked when they say that. So when I say that, it's like, yeah, it is. It's modern medicine. Because, look, you're talking about England, you're talking about the United States, you're talking about Australia, and all of the Western countries basically are dominated by such a powerful force in modern medicine that you actually have to be strong to stand against all of the pressure that comes not only from within that church, we call it a biological mysticism, but all of the so-called attendees of that church sitting in the pews when you don't want their wafer, their chemotherapeutic wafer. They're like, no, you can't leave. You got to have it. And they don't even have to fight as much because they know your peers, your family, your friends, your relatives are all going to say, are you crazy? You've got to have chemo.
Oh, God, it's such a good analogy, Robert. You know, it so makes sense. I mean, you're in such a vulnerable position when you get a cancer diagnosis that, you know, you do want to say, yes, doctor, no, doctor, three bags full, doctor, you mm-hmm. know, help me, whatever you can do, doctor. So I think unless you had that background and knew that there were other options out there, you know, it's so much easier to just go with, you know, what the doctors are telling you to do.
Mm-hmm. So she went a different route. You talk about a diet. She was already pretty clean. We can go into, you know, issues as to why this may have happened in the first place. But I'm more interested for the sake of this interview here to understand what process she went through. Of course, she was able to withstand the pressure against her to go down the allopathic medicine route. which is great. But the path she took, we're not going to say it was all, you know, roses and lemonade. I mean, how do we describe what she did go through?
Well, my mom did have surgery, so she did have a full hysterectomy. And I mean, now she, looking back, she sort of thinks she might not have made that decision if she'd had more time. You know, it was sort of as she was given the diagnosis that the GP was making the appointment to have the hysterectomy. Mum felt like she barely got time to think about it. But, you know, straight after that, she was on to intravenous vitamin C. You know, she'd watched Food Matters, that brilliant film, and heard about the fantastic benefits for cancer patients for vitamin C injections. So she started that immediately, as well as ozone therapy. And she was lucky enough to have a place that provides that locally.
And that's in London.
That's in Perth, Australia.
Oh, it was in Perth. Okay, because I was just thinking, you know, there have been a lot of attacks on natural medicine in England recently, the UK, despite Prince Charles seemingly being a supporter of it. There's a lot of backlash against it right now.
Oh, and in Australia. I mean, there was another place that was offering intravenous vitamin C down the road in Perth, and the clinic was shut down last year because the doctor had the audacity to put testimonials on his website. And he lost his license, and the clinic was shut down. So it's not a myth. I mean, these things are happening, and it's scary.
Well, I remember seeing, and there's a famous YouTube now that's probably gotten a million plus views of a man who was given up for dead due to the flu. I think this may have happened in Australia, and the family insisted that even as they said they were going to pull the plug to give these intravenous vitamin C, and lo and behold, he actually recovered.
Oh, that was an amazing story. Yeah. One of my readers forwarded me that, and it's such a brilliant story.
Well, so in going through some of these things, you mentioned in your story about how your mom was on the Budwig diet. Maybe you can talk a little bit about the things she did related to that.
Yeah, well, I mean, the Budwig diet is quite controversial because a lot of the alternative cancer experts, the number one thing they recommend is that the patients give up dairy, and mom did give up dairy immediately after she was diagnosed because there is a lot of research showing that IGF-1s in milk can drive hormonal cancers. But the Budwig diet is a combination of flaxseed oil and cottage cheese. But apparently when you combine these two substances in the right proportions, it loses its dairy properties. And so Joanna Budwig came up with this combination in the 50s, and she was one of Germany's leading biochemists, and she was nominated 7 times for a Nobel Prize. So she found that when cancer patients were given this combination, they returned to health. And it's basically to do with delivering oxygen to the cells, that the combination of cottage cheese and flaxseed oil basically blasts cells with oxygen, and you know, cancer cells hate oxygen, from what I can understand.
Well, no, you're very right. That's why I've often said that as an adjunct, I often recommend the silver hydrosol because of its capacity to carry oxygen and flood the body in that way, and the immune cells because the oxygen is used against the cancer. So in this case, you know, this Budwig diet acknowledges that and utilizes some natural, let's say, foods to enhance that activity.
Yeah, and I mean, the great thing about the Budwig diet is that it's cheap. I mean, you know, one of the sad things about alternative cancer treatments is they're often prohibitively expensive. I mean, vitamin C injections, you know, having an infrared sauna, I mean, that's really expensive. So many of these treatments, or you know, going overseas to have hypothermia, which has, you know, been the lifesaver for so many cancer patients, all these things are very expensive. So I really like it when I'm able to share with readers some things I've found that are really cheap.
And by the way, you are, as far as writing, I mean, this is how you make your profession as a writer, and you're writing now for Cosmopolitan, Cosmo?
Yeah, I've been writing for them for a while. I love writing articles for them, and it's nice to be able to write sort of different things, occasionally write a relationship feature, and then mostly I'm writing health features now for magazines in Australia and England.
And how often do you get to stray into this kind of territory? Obviously, the story is such a fantastic story with your mom, and we're not through talking about it, of course. But how much leeway have you found you've been given, more or less over the time, or the same amount? Because so much of the old media, it's sometimes called the mainstream media, if it publishes stories like this, it always has to do a counterpoint. And to some degree, that's true in the piece that I have here linked up as a PDF on your mom's story, and it's like they go back to the medical side and, you know, sort of the counterpoint to everything.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the piece you're referring to is in the Sunday Times, and I think, you know, they need to hedge, feel like they're hedging their bets and, you know, showing the other side for the sake of balanced reporting. But other health magazines, I write for a magazine called Nature and Health in Australia, and I get pretty much, you know, free rein if I want to write about is Gardasil vaccine safe, you know, the piece that I write goes in unedited in their magazine. So different publications, you know, will have, you know, different views and will feel okay leaving things untouched, and others will want to put in that counterpoint, as you say.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's really a good sign. Things are changing. I mean, we're not naive enough to believe that everything's just fine as it is, because we have a long way to go to bring about the level playing field so that patients, you know, in such a situation with a cancer diagnosis, are given all of the facts and allowed to make a decision without the pressure that your mom went through. She was strong enough with you and the family to also support to get through without succumbing to the toxicological assault, which is bad enough for a healthy person, but devastating when we're talking about someone that is diagnosed with immune suppression or cancer, as it was in your mom's case.
And I mean, that was, you know, part of the reason for starting the blog was to share mom's story so other people could connect, and it could provide a forum for other people who were going down this same route, that they could have know that there was someone else on their same path, because the alternative cancer road can be quite lonely. Mm-hmm. You know, I've heard from so many people that have said, you know, they've tried to join sort of cancer support groups, and then when they've turned up and they've said they're not having chemo, they're sort of shunned in a way. Nobody wants to know about it, or they're just dismissed as crazy. So it's been nice for people that have chosen this decision. And of course, the blog's not sort of telling people to do one thing or the other. It's just, you know, merely providing an open forum, sharing information. But, you know, I've got lots of lovely feedback from people saying, thank you for sharing your mom's story. It's so nice to hear from somebody else that's doing this as well.
Hmm. Well, we're going to continue on with our discussion with Laura Bond here, freelance journalist from England, from Australia. She's in the States momentarily, talking about her blog, mumsnothavingchemo.com, and enjoying this thoroughly. We're going to talk about some of the emotional underpinnings of cancer with her next, because she reveals some of that in the story that was published in the Sunday Times as well. This is the Robert Scott Bell Show on naturalnewsradio.com. Check out all the links I have up at robertscottbell.com. Call me 24-7, 866-939-BELL, 866-939-2355. We're going to talk more advanced medicine, real healing through nature, with Laura Bond after this.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Since the 1920s, people around the world have been using radio frequencies to safeguard the health of themselves and their families. Through this tested technology, pioneered by Royal Raymond Rife, researchers have found that specific radio frequencies can eliminate viruses, bacteria, molds, and parasites without harming normal healthy cells. Frequency technology could help millions now suffering from various infections, even arthritis, herpes, Lyme disease, and other painful chronic conditions. The BCX Ultra Frequency Instrument has been developed over a period of 30 years. The BCX Ultra is one of the most powerful healing tools ever. Turn ill health around. Enjoy life again. Start learning about the BCX Ultra today. Visit bioelectricsforhealth.com or call 1-800-936-6240. That's 1-800-936-6240. Call today and start the healing.
The latest news flash. There's good news from Australia and One Stop Health Shop. Now you can get the papaya products your body needs to fight aging and combat damage to the central nervous system. Products that aid plasma glucose level decrease, assist in weight loss, support wound healing, and combat many diseases. Papaya leaf extract actually reduces oxidative stress and boosts your immune system. The probiotic formula is documented to be antibacterial, antifungal, and antiviral. Papaya is one of the richest sources of antioxidants and is up to 20 times more powerful than vitamin E. Log on now to one-stop-health-shop.com to see and read the good news about these 100% organic products. The good news is papaya leaf extract is now available from one-stop-health-shop.com.
Taking on bureaucrats and corporations that would stand in the way of health freedom. Here's Robert.
If you or a loved one are ever touched by the unfortunate diagnosis of cancer, you'd be served to visit this blog, and I have it linked up at the blog today at robertscottbell.com. It's called Mums Not Having Chemo. For those of you in the States, a mum is a mom. Okay, just if you haven't been exposed to the British accent or even the Australian accent, where you can use mom and mum equally. Now, in this case, Mum's Not Having Chemo, written by the mum here in question, her daughter, Laura Bond. And what's your mum's name?
Gemma.
Gemma, yes. So Gemma's story, how she had cancer and what she did by rejecting chemo to get well, even though she had initially some surgical removal, so to speak. But even then, as she says, looking back, maybe she didn't need that. But some would question, because you read about your mom and she was very holistically oriented, eating organic food. And you ask the question, it's like, well, how is it possible then, right? All you, like, you crazy health food people, you eat well and see, you still get cancer. Ha, ha, ha. It didn't matter. Well, no, it does matter. But we recognize it's about everything, not just one thing. And eating right is not significantly, even though it is significant, enough is what I'm saying. Because if you can have, let's say, emotional discord, emotional trauma and injuries and wounds that are not addressed, that can manifest cancer even in someone who eats perfectly good organic food. So this is a very important aspect to it. And a segment of the article that I linked through in the Sunday Times, you have a PDF of it, it references a friend of mine, Dr. Norm Shealy, talking in terms of the emotions associated with manifestation of disease. And it said that your mom admitted that prior to her diagnosis, she had lost her passion for life. Having invested the previous three decades in her four children, she was left floundering when you all, the youngins, started to leave the nest. And that could set the stage for a physiological ailment that is impacted this way.
Absolutely. And I mean, a lot of experts like Dr. Bernie Siegel, you know, he talks about the importance of cancer patients finding a passion or getting their passion back in life. And he found that when he talked to cancer patients and said, you know, what is it that you really want to do? Or what is it that you love? And, you know, when they made time to spend with their family, or they made the change and gave up the job they hated, or they started painting or whatever it was, it really paved the path for healing. And so ironically for mum, she's sort of found that since she got cancer, she's sort of got her passion back in a way, because she's always been so interested in alternative health. And with doing the blog, and she's spoken on radio as well, she feels like she's able to share her knowledge and her experience about all of this. And that's what she's really passionate about. But the emotional side of things, it's just so interesting. I mean, Dr. Leonard Caldwell, he's treated 35,000 patients. He's written 8 books. And he maintains that about 86% of cancer is caused by emotional stress. I mean, that's quite interesting.
Well, it's very significant. When we talk about the holistic way to look at the body, we can't overemphasize any one body. If we talk about in terms of mental bodies and emotional bodies and physical bodies, that's the integration of everything. As I said, I'm better served, and I believe that we're all better served by eating well. You know, in fact, just last week I was talking. I had guest with my superhero sidekick Liam Sheff, as well as Charles Weber. We were talking about the reintegration. How I said, how is it that you can identify certain things are very difficult emotionally? Sometimes it is by changing your physical diet. You know, that it somehow opens up a healing or an awareness to an organ that had been too overly physiologically intoxicated to communicate. You didn't know what was going on. And then suddenly you're healing by detoxification, and it opens up some possibilities for emotional healing.
Yeah, that's right. That's a really interesting point. I know that Charlotte Gerson often, when she speaks, she talks about people, when they go to the Gerson clinic and they're doing the coffee enemas and all the serious detoxing, that they'll just suddenly break down and cry for days, and they're releasing all these pent up emotions. And she said that is, you know, critical to the healing process. So even protocols where it's really the food thing's emphasized over the emotion thing, you know, like you say, there is a link.
Well, and the link is overlooked when you talk about the chemotherapeutic docs, so to speak, and it's chemotoxic docs, and their focal point only on killing these aberrant so-called cancer cells. And it's so disconnected from all of life, as if it just kind of was beamed down from a spaceship into your body, so that all we need to do is throw napalm or, you know, nuclear bombs, whatever we can do, or if we have to cut it out, we'll do it. And it has no reference point anywhere in a causal universe. Like, there was no cause. It just happened. It's sorry. It's an accident. And so you live your life whereas it doesn't matter and hope to be saved at the last minute. Maybe you will, maybe you won't. But chances are, if you go down that road, it's the living hell that your mom saw in, was it her brother? So,
her brother.
Yeah. So this is the kind of thing that I think an awakening, if you will, or shift in consciousness to where even – well, I've referenced the story too for many years. As a homeopath, I would hear from oncologists that would not subject themselves or their family members to the same treatment they would subject everybody else. They said, hey, do you have anything natural or homeopathic that we can take? I mean, you're encouraged that they're asking, but why wouldn't they not release that information to the people coming to them in desperation for help?
Oh, I know. It's shocking. I mean, one of the things Mum had read before her diagnosis was that that study, the McGill Cancer Center study, which was a confidential questionnaire amongst oncologists, and 90% of them said that they wouldn't have chemo if they were diagnosed with cancer, nor would they subject a family member to it. 90%. I mean, mm-hmm. Of course, that's just one questionnaire, but it's quite telling.
Yeah. If people, I mean, that should be up on billboards outside every oncological office. You know, you're coming into this center and realize that 9 out of 10 of the doctors here would not subject themselves to what they're going to do to you. How would that change the equation?
I mean, 2 weeks ago, I got an email from one of my readers, and he's healed himself with natural alternative treatments. But he said he obviously originally went to see an oncologist, and he said his oncologist called him into the office the week before and told him that he wants to start a wellness clinic on a separate floor from his onco practice. And he's quoted him as saying, I'm tired of poisoning people.
Hmm. Well, it's deeply troubling to the spirit, quite honestly. And there is a high rate of depression among the medical doctors, if you will, chemo specialists especially, I think, because it's horrific what they're putting people through. And, of course, if you've ever seen the pictures of children going through chemo and radiation, your heart is just wrecked from watching this, especially knowing what we know, that there is another way, and they're not even allowing the options to be disseminated within their field with the amount of peer pressure and let's say, medical pressure that is given to the family members, or much less the people that are subjected or victimized by this. Well, I wouldn't say the cancer is what's victimizing. It's the treatment in this case.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair to oncologists, I mean, there's so much red tape, and, you know, it's they can lose their license for even suggesting a patient doesn't have chemo. So what are their options? I mean, it's a bad state. It's, you know, it's a whole medical paradigm needs to shift.
Well, exactly. And that's why I've encouraged the separation of medicine and state here. I don't know if they have that concept anywhere else, but we've certainly lost it here in America as well. That the whole idea of licensing a profession means you basically create a monopoly, and you limit the amount of innovation that can occur because the boards that cover it are then bought off by the interest, in this case pharmaceutical, and therefore the so-called standard of care becomes substandard by definition, and that any innovation is looked at as a threat to the status quo. And so these innovative doctors, look, Dr. Batar, who we do Advanced Medicine Monday with every week, he knows firsthand. He spent years, millions of dollars in his defense, finally defeating them, all because they didn't like that he was stepping outside of the box in terms of medicine and the way he would help his patients to heal.
Oh, it's shocking. I mean, there are so many amazing practitioners out there, and the amount that they're bullied and sidelined and not given a voice and persecuted aggressively. It's shocking. It's so shocking. I mean, but the even sadder fact is we just don't hear about this. I mean, you don't read about these cases in the news. Baczynski, for example, I mean, you know, decades of fighting the Texas Medical Board. It's just ridiculous.
Well, at this point in your mom's life, give us a status from when this story started to where we are today and how she's doing, how she's feeling, and where we could keep up with her.
Well, basically, she was diagnosed last March with ovarian and uterine cancer, and her CA125 blood marker test was 170 then, and her most recent test was 8, which is well within the normal range. I think me and my sister were 9 when we got tested, you know. So 8 is really, really good. I mean, the normal range is between 0 and 20. So things are really good, but it's not a, okay, I'm fine, I can forget all these things now. It's when you go down the alternative route, you know, she's going to keep doing the coffee enema, she's going to keep doing the saunas, she, you know, has given up dairy, all these things. It's not just changes that you make for a few months. It's you make these changes for life.
Well, and the lifestyle change, which seems daunting at first, it really, when you look at the picture of people that have gone through the traditional poisoning of the body, the radiating of the body, the cutting of the body, and those who have made the transition and gone this way and are cancer-free, Dr. Nick Gonzalez is a frequent guest here as well, and he's got patients that were given up for dead over 20 years ago. I mean, they were months to live, weeks to live, and they're alive and thriving today because of these transformations and changes. And I'll be honest, even those that do go through the horrific aspects of oncology that do survive, they're often speaking in terms of what you said, that they've found a renewed zest for living, a renewed purpose for life. So cancer in itself serves a purpose. It's a bizarre thing to say, but those that have gone through it understand it, just as my illnesses have served a purpose. Now, I made a decision to go a different route than some who are now my peer and age group. Now, looking at me having, 24 years plus ago, made the decisions I made. Now, looking at me when they laughed at me then saying, hey, you look like you haven't aged in 20 years. Is there something you're doing that maybe I shouldn't have been laughing? Maybe I should do that too.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's the best part about alternative cancer treatments. You know, that's just so good for your body. They boost the immune system. It's just fantastic. I mean, Mom says she's never felt better, and she looks fantastic. These things are really life-affirming and so good for you. But as you say, even for those that go down the conventional route, I mean, everything I mentioned on my blog, Mom's Not Having Chemo, can be done alongside conventional medicine. I have a friend that was diagnosed with colon cancer around the same time as mum, and she's now really excited to start vitamin C injections because she's heard how fantastic that can be for detoxing some of the toxic side effects of chemotherapy. You know, there's lots of research to show how good it is, you know, how much it can work alongside these treatments. So it doesn't have to be, oh, I've done this route, you know, it's too late for me to try all these other things. I mean, not at all.
Well, I will say that if you are seeing a traditional cancer doctor in the allopathic field and they deny that you can use supplements or any of these other natural methods, then find another oncologist, because even the research is clear that these methods do not impede the chemotoxic therapy. Like, you know, we might say we'd want it to, but let's just put that aside. The fact of the matter is the cancer cells are not defended by doing something natural. Your healthy mammalian cells are. So at the very least, look for a cancer doc that acknowledges that. At the very best, you find someone like Dr. Nick or Dr. Batar, and there are more and more of them coming up around the world, as evidenced by what your mom has been through in Australia.
That's it. I mean, Dr. Gonzalez is a true legend. I mean, that was how we found out about the coffee enemas, is reading an interview with Dr. Nick Gonzalez. I mean, his track record is just so impressive, especially for pancreatic patients. And the way he talks about the importance of enzymes, I mean, that's been a big thing for mum as well, taking the enzymes every day. Because there's a lot of research showing that, you know, cancer patients are deficient in enzymes.
Well, Laura, you're paying it forward through your blog. You're spreading the word as a journalist, and I'm so grateful to connect, and I'm appreciative of Amy McCrory for connecting us. And I know you're spreading the word of Natural News and the Robert Scott Bell Show all over the planet, and I hope that you'll be back for some updates from time to time, particularly if you see some stories impacting health and health freedom around the world. I'd love to hear back from you and talk to you some more.
Oh, it would be a pleasure. It would be a pleasure. And thank you so much for having me on your show.
Oh, absolutely. It's mumsnothavingchemo.com. We've got it linked up, as well as her personal site. If you'd like to read more about the things she's written, laura-bond.com. And I'm so glad we were able to connect today. Listen, we've got a lot more healing to do. It is Advanced Medicine Monday on the Robert Scott Bell Show. So stay with us. Say thanks to our sponsors. We'll be back after this.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Hold that shrimp on the Barbie until you find out about Papaya 35 Multiply Plus, direct from Australia. All natural, GMO-free Papaya 35 Multiply Plus is made from fermented papaya and pomegranate, rich in natural probiotics, digestive enzymes, and antioxidants. Now get this spectacular product to boost your natural killer cells to help your immune system and improve your digestion at the same time. So now you can have your shrimp on the Barbie, feel better, and if you act now, get a great down-under price and free shipping on each product that you order. Don't wait. Go to onestophealthshop.com and order now. That's one-stop-health-shop.com. Get that great down-under price and free shipping right now at one-stop-health-shop.com. That's one-stop-health-shop.com.
Hi, this is Robert Scott Bell, and I want to tell you about my great friends at Enterfood.com. Like me, the folks at Enterfood are fighting the good fight for your total health freedom. Their super green energy drink, Enterfood, is full of natural ingredients like spirulina and chlorella, which can improve your immune system and detox you from harmful radiation. Enterfood was voted best superfood by Mike Adams and the Southwest College of Naturopathic Medicine. Enterfood.com is one-stop shopping for all your health and survival needs. Try their meal replacement product for those watching their weight. Organic immune support coffee, cocoa, coconut milk powder, and herbal tinctures for your every need. Enterfood.com now has developed a new survival preparedness pail packed with all organic, tasty, non-GMO foods to get you and your family through any disaster. All of these great products are now available to you for a 10% discount when you mention the Robert Scott Bell Show. Call them to order at 866-762-9238. That's 866-762-9238. Or go to our product page at Enterfood.com. That's Enerfood.com.
Making sense out of medical propaganda, here's Robert.
Thanks again to Laura Bond, and thank you as well, Amy McCrory, for hooking us up. Looking forward to seeing everybody out there at the Health Freedom Expo coming up. And I also wanted to relate some Ron Paul information. How do I go a day without that? It's very hard in this political campaign season to do that. But I covered it extensively yesterday on the Sunday version of the Robert Scott Bell Show, interviewing Bruce Fine as well as Kurt Wallace from LibertyPulse.com about the CPAC convention. Last 2 years in a row, Ron Paul wins it, and it was quite a thing to watch because the neoconservatives were busting, I don't know, all kinds of things. They couldn't handle it. No, not Ron Paul. Similar to what we see with the attempts to sabotage the caucuses in Maine. And he, you know, clearly was on the verge of winning that state and they suspended a caucus in there. So I talked about that on yesterday's show. And, you know, I think you look at the spirit of the difference between these campaigns. Where's the enthusiasm for Mitt Romney or Newt Gingrich or Rick Santorum? I know there's still some misplaced enthusiasm for Barack Obama on the people that are still kind of hypnotized by all of it. But with Ron Paul, I mean, doesn't matter. He's out there and he's just having the time of his life, relating a message that is near and dear to his heart for so long. You know, and after learning that he had taken a close second, which in my mind is actually a victory if they would count the last of the caucuses there, he's out there kicking balloons and throwing balloons. I mean, fun. You'll see this. The video, I link it through today's show notes because it's such a neat. I was watching this and I said, this guy is, he's 76, whatever. He's having the time of his life. He's throwing balloons up like it's a party. And it is, because he realizes that the message of liberty is winning. It is winning no matter what happens in this election cycle. And they will do whatever they can on the opposition to this to sabotage, because they can't have a guy not beholden to the banksters winning the presidency. He may very well do it anyway.
But Ron Paul knows that it doesn't matter in the big scheme of things if he does or does not, because this message is not going away. And the fact of the matter is you watch Greece is burning, right? They used to say Rome is burning. Well, no, Greece is burning. Greece is on fire. Because the banksters are calling in their chips. It's just, you cannot live on fiat money forever. Countries don't survive on this kind of money. When you take the money out of the money and you pretend that it's still money, you only have a limited amount of time before it goes kaput. It collapses. And that is what we're witnessing in Greece right now, these so-called austerity measures causing people to just, you know, burn cinemas, cafes, shops, banks in Athens. They listen, if you have begun subsisting on government handouts for generations now, and it has been over the 20th century, this descent into this, and it was all based on the funny money standard when the dollar came off of the gold in 1971, Nixon closed the gold window, and suddenly now all bets are off. There was no limitation on the creation of new money, which meant there would be inevitably inflation, whether they pretend whatever numbers game they play. Oh, there's not really inflation. Oh, yeah. Go buy a loaf of bread, some eggs. How about a gallon of gas? All of these things. And you'll recognize, yes, inflation is very real. And it's hitting who? The middle class and the poor, the hardest of everybody. And those on the left who have supported Obama, maybe just took a leap of faith, whatever, are also now beginning to realize that our foreign interventions are bankrupting us. And Ron Paul's message is simply, look, here's the future. This is where it's going. It's not that I want it to happen. This is where it has been in history. Learn from history. And do we make the decisions now before it is the catastrophe of Rome and Athens and Greece burning? Does America have to burn, or can we be adults enough? Can we be grown-ups enough to learn from history and say, whoa, here's the roadmap. Let's start curtailing it now before we're in desperate straits, before it all implodes. And make decisions like bringing the troops home before we won't even be able to afford to fly them home because we can't pay for the fuel because the Arab OPEC nations are no longer accepting Federal Reserve notes. Which, by the way, was the reason NATO and Obama went in to Libya. And we hear movement toward Iran because Iran is saying the same thing. We want gold for our oil. We don't want to take paper. Pakistan, you're going to see this happening. And it's gunboat diplomacy that is keeping this thing in check right now, keeping it in play. It's simply that the U.S. has a military force that is larger than all the world's forces put together. And that is the thing that is holding it together. But when this happens, not if, but when the countries stop accepting the Federal Reserve Note dollar, then good luck. You'll be wiping your bottom with those Federal Reserve Note dollars that you're holding. Now, I realize a lot of people are underwater with mortgages because they thought the boom would never end. I just, you know, got word from my mom, bless her soul. She bought a townhome a few years back for a decent price. She didn't overpay per se, but it started at 175, then reappraised at like 150 to 120. Now it reappraised at 98 and she owes 99 on it. Mom, I'm sorry for revealing this, but just to let you know, you're in greater shape than most Americans that are holding paper right now for their homes that are completely underwater. And this is the kind of thing that will eventually cause the U.S. to burn. And you think that this thing that Obama signed in for relief for the mortgages, it's not going to help anybody significantly. If you're going to get $2,000 off of what? Being underwater by $100,000, $50,000, $75,000, $250,000 on a mortgage? You're going to walk away and they'll bail out the bankers again. And this is what people are realizing in Greece and in other areas of Europe. And so the message of Ron Paul is not Democrat or Republican. It's based on sound economic principles. And the question is whether you want liberty or slavery. Well, I know what I want. What you want, that's up to you. But you keep listening to the Robert Scott Bell Show, so you must be into liberty a little bit more than you're into slavery. And for that, I am grateful. We're going to take a quick break here. I don't know if we'll get Bitar. I mean, we literally don't. We haven't heard from him yet, so we might have to go to a rebroadcast. But remember, with Dr. Bitar, the stuff never expires. That's how good the information is. And we'll keep rocking the health world with you every day here on the United States and World of Health Talk Radio. Thank you for being here. All I ask is that you remember this simple message, that the power to heal is yours.
Robert Scott Bell Show. Hi, this is Joshua.
And Anna Scurry, co-founders of Alive Foundation, and you're listening to The Robert Scott Bell Show. Alive is a nonprofit organization that will be holding its first annual Celebrity Health and Eco Benefit in New York City and live streamed globally.
Why should you support? This benefit will be standing behind the world's leading natural doctors, celebrities, and organizations that are making a real difference in our world.
Visit AliveNewYork.org today for more information or to make a donation. We cannot do this without you. Join the cause today and be the change.
Welcome to the Robert Scott Bell Show. If you would like to participate, you can call Robert at 866-939-2355. That's 866-939-BELL. And now, it's time to wake up! Thank you.
Gentlemen, can I please have your attention? And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Robert Scott Bell Show.
Things really suck, but you know what? If it wasn't for me, they would suck worse.
What are you talking about? What do you mean by that?
Robert Scott Bell.
No family making less than $250,000 a year will see any form of tax increase.
That's a lie. That's just an outright lie.
Why don't you tell the people the truth for a change?
Robert Scott Bell.
I don't know why people on the other side are so doggone stupid that they think that the federal government's going to produce jobs.
Stupid is, stupid does, sir.
I want to see that we guarantee that this generation is healthier.
You know, you want to go to a naturopath or a homeopath? No. That's not approved by the government.
Taking on bureaucrats and corporations that would stand in the way of health freedom and making sense out of medical propaganda. The voice of health, freedom, and liberty, Robert Scott Bell.
Hey, the greatest way to start the week on the Robert Scott Bell Show is, of course, with Dr. Rashid Batar with some advanced medicine. And, of course, many of my listeners, Dr. Batar, look forward. In fact, some of them say, Monday is my favorite day of the week, and I understand why. We get to do some things that no one else in media does with the insights you have and the insider perspective on a lot of things that you have. It's so great.
Well, Robert, it's always great to be able to share some of these ideas, and our exchange is always natural. So it's a welcome opportunity for me every week to break away from what I normally am doing. And I've actually gotten used to this Medical Mondays and actually look forward to it every Monday. So I'm pleased to be here with you as always.
Well, thanks. I appreciate it. Like I said, you know, when we get together, sometimes we will plan a lot about the show, and a lot of times it happens so organically that we'll end up covering a lot of different topics. Of course, one of the things a lot of people are concerned, as am I, to see how your wife is recovering from a few weeks back, as we talked about her finger being injured and some regenerative methodologies and trying to do new things. Has she continued? Because, you know, one of the more bizarre stories of the week, and I just covered this last hour, and Rand Paul in the Senate had said this, one of the things that makes you a suspected terrorist is if you have lost one of your fingers. And I'm thinking, don't lose your finger.
I didn't know that. Why is that?
I guess the assumption I say is that, well, were you playing with explosives or something? I mean, never mind that your wife was merely trying to break up a dog fight.
Well, I would think that if somebody had been messing around with explosives, they would tend to probably lose more than, I mean, if there was an accident,
I would think
lose
so.
More than a finger.
But then again, I mean, there are other things like having guns, and if you have ammo that you are like weatherproofing, somehow that makes you suspicious. And also, one of perhaps the most bizarre thing is if you have more than 7 days of food stored up, that makes you a suspect. I mean, this is the kind
really?
Of stuff that's happening now.
Wow, I had no idea about that.
Yeah, and Rand Paul was in the Senate going, what are you guys thinking? Because Democrats and Republicans alike, with some exceptions, not many, are basically passing this in as if this so-called war on terror is real, and of course they're turning the war against the American people, who they would say it's a responsible thing to have some food prepared for a disaster, except if it's more than 7 days. Then now, oh, we're not so sure about you.
I would think that that would be most aware people have at least a couple of weeks of food, if not more, stored up.
Oh, I would think so. And I would hope, and we encourage it, of course. You know, any kind of disaster that could be a temporary thing, like hurricanes, that, you know, some people have been out for back in Florida when I went, before I moved down, it was like 05, there was Hurricane Wilma. Some people were out of power for weeks.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely.
And so to do that is responsible. We saw Hurricane Katrina, et cetera. But I think the concern perhaps is if you're too self-sufficient, you have no dependence on the government, and that concerns them.
probably rightly so.
well, fascinating, though. So anyway, yeah, real quickly, how is your wife doing with her finger recovery?
She's actually doing fantastic. The finger continues to regenerate at an unprecedented rate. We've never seen digits like that repair. Now, we're using this technology. I'm not surprised the way it's working, but I have never seen something work this well. And, of course, we discussed all of the things she's doing too. But
yes.
I would say probably a good 60%, if not more, if the finger is already back. Mm-hmm. We anticipate by mid-January that her treatment should finish. And I'm taking serial pictures. I didn't take any pictures today when we did the dressing change. But the dressing changes are being done every 48 hours and reapplication every 48 hours. So once I've got everything done as far as all the pictures have been taken and then treatments finished, then I'll post the before, mid, and after pictures so that people can see for themselves. But it's pretty dramatic as far as how well it's recovering and how fast it's recovering. So it's not as if you're looking at a finger and then slowly it's difficult to ascertain if there is a new change or not. I mean, you literally see the various stages of the finger where before it was at the base where the nail bed is. You don't see any nail bed, and then you see early beginnings of a nail bed, but the finger seems like it was just cut off at that point. And then you see almost a third of the nail bed there as if the finger was cut off at that point. So it's literally growing.
Fascinating.
With a mucous serosanguinous type
tissue
distal
coming?
End on the appendage, on the distal aspect of it. It almost looks like, mucus growing there. The best way to describe it, in the way that the rep for the company describes it, that it should look like snot.
Wow. I love it. That makes all the sense in the world. My 11-year-old son will love to hear that.
Exactly. Well, here's the thing, though. I think the wound needs to be kept moist, and it allows for that scaffolding.
The matrix, so to speak. Yeah.
Yeah, the matrix to kind of envelop the entire distal portion of the appendage so that there is a framework for the new cells to grow into. And I think that's the reason that it's literally a layer by layer by layer that you see virtually in front of you growing. It's not how you would anticipate, because when you think of regeneration, you would think, well, it's going to start slow, small, and it's going to kind of grow outwards. Mm-hmm. It's literally like layer by layer, step by step. It would be like looking at a individual, and first you see the feet, and then the ankles, and then the knees, and then
right.
The
I can have a great visual there. It's like sort of like building a building from the bottom up, and each floor going on.
Exactly.
I can't wait to see the imagery. I mean, I'm not squeamish about these things, but again, it's fascinating, this journey that we're on together, that this would happen, and to reveal the things that are most exciting to me about regenerative medicine and all of the things that we're learning. You know, as we've talked about the silver and working with regeneration as well, and now this cellular type matrix coming the way it was described. By the way, everybody listen, the Advanced Medicine Mondays are, of course, archived at Natural News Radio. We have links up to Medical Rewind and Dr. Batar's site. You can give a listen the last couple of weeks as we talked about this from the initial stages of the injury to what's happening now. And, you know, this seems to be like the catchphrase, evidence-based medicine. Of course, you know that also well. There's an article here, Dr. Batar, and I have it linked up under Gaia Health. Evidence-based medicine is a fraud, and here's why. And they go into this whole idea of how the so-called clinical trials, which we've talked about, and rife with conflicts of interest, pharmaceutical, etc. Evidence-based medicine sounds like a great thing, doesn't it? But is it working out? What is it? Who's controlling it? Because this is really evidence, what we're talking about in your wife's case, but maybe not something that they would acknowledge in the old scientific realm.
Well, actually, at the end of the DVDs, the Know Your Options, the medical series that you know so well, Robert, since you did the introduction narrative on them. At the end of those DVDs, I actually go into a diatribe myself about this very aspect, about the term evidence-based medicine. And evidence-based medicine is actually a term that was originated from the integrative side of the house and, the holistic side of the house. But the traditional medicine model took this took the word evidence-based medicine. It's almost like when you go through a divorce, you have the you have one party that projects their own inadequacies onto the other partner.
Right.
And
right.
I'm sure you've heard this before, and it's the same thing that traditional medicine took the words evidence-based medicine, but yet even though they took the term themselves, they projected their own inadequacies onto the integrative doctors, yet took their own term by calling it evidence-based medicine. And in fact, what we do, what integrative medicine does, what holistic medicine does, what natural medicine does, is based upon evidence. As Plato himself said, that the true science is formed first from observation. The purest form of science is based on observation. And right. From that observation, you form a hypothesis, and then you test that hypothesis and see how many times it comes to fruition, and that in its entirety forms science. Yet, if you look at the double-blind, placebo-controlled, crossover, multi-centered trial methodology, it is based on anything but evidence, because there is no all they're doing is collecting facts. I like to say that science is based upon facts, just like a house is built upon a foundation of bricks. Yet a pile of bricks does not make a house, neither does a pile of facts makes up science. Mm-hmm. And this is exactly what evidence-based medicine, the conventional interpretation of evidence-based medicine, does. It collects a bunch of facts, but that doesn't make science.
Right.
And therein is where the problem lies with our modern form of medicine. There is nothing based upon evidence. If I take your hand and I treat your hand with, let's say, the black salve that they talk about, because let's say you had a growth on your hand.
Right, yeah, the cancer. This is a Native American-inspired thing. Greg Catron, of course, we've talked about here, was basically illegally extradited, kidnapped by the FDA to bring him back from Ecuador because he dared to sell and tell people what this was for.
Right, so let's use that as an example. So let's say there's a lesion on somebody's arm. It's growing. It appears to be cancerous. They take this black salve, they put it on there, and it gets rid of it. To me, that would be the fact that this lesion is no longer there. The evidence suggests that this salve that I put on got rid of it. However, in the conventional standpoint, that's not evidence. There's no evidence there. You have to do a double-blind, placebo-controlled, crossover, multi-center trial to determine whether or not it's safe for phase one treatment or phase one qualification for a drug, and then take it through the second phase and third phase before it can become approved as a drug. I don't understand that. What is that based upon? I mean, what's the evidence? You take two different people with two different with the same lesion, and you put one with the black salve, another one without the black salve.
Yeah.
It happens that one person responds and the other person doesn't. So what? You're saying that the evidence suggests that the one person that did get the black salve, that did get a response, that doesn't exist?
It doesn't count. Only the one that didn't work, evidently. Article, it says we should first take a hard look at the reality, as we're talking about here, behind so many of the studies evoked to support evidence-based medicine treatments, EBM treatments. It's becoming a well-known scandal that much of what passes for science in medical journals is at best useless and at worst is devastatingly harmful, as demonstrated in the mass drugging of women going through the natural process of menopause. Great example there that they give.
Well, Robert, you look at some of the greatest studies supposedly where all this science subsequently has been based upon, and it's all been an illusion, a facade. They had last year, in fact, I think we covered it on the show, an anesthesiologist that had been paramount in a number of studies, I think 14 different peer-reviewed.
Oh, yeah, that's right. A lot of things were based upon his work, and it turns out they were all fraudulent.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. So, you know, and these are all university-based, all the highest integrity so-called, you know, the highest bastions of medical education, and it's all BS. I mean, you can get anything published if you have enough dollars that you give to the researchers. And then look at some of the studies that we just covered in the last few weeks, the absurdity of some of those studies. The one about sitting on a couch, it appears that is going to, what was it, couch potato, sedentary lifestyle?
Yes.
I mean, you know, what kind of absurd type of a study is that? So
right.
These are things that you don't, there's certain things that are intuitive. If you lay on a couch and you don't exercise and you eat more caloric, you take in more caloric intake than you expend, then naturally you're going to gain body fat.
Mm-hmm.
That's an observation. You don't need to do a study to, you know, establish that.
Well, the only reason I like them is because they make for funny moments of duh.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, Marcia Engel, or Angel, she has written extensively on these corrupt practices in science. She was the former editor-in-chief of the New England Journal of Medicine. I interviewed her many years ago on the Robert Scott Bell Show, and she wrote an article called Big Pharma, Bad Medicine. And there was a really hilarious quote that she quoted somebody in there. The question was, is academic medicine for sale? The answer, no. The current owner is very happy with it.
Yep, that is a truism.
I mean, the ownership of academia is such that, you know, Big Pharma has a great gravy train rolling here, and the assumption that these studies are really legitimate. And, you know, and even when they so-called find the science is statistically significant, it's like, well, there's a 2% or 3% difference, and here you're talking about someone with 100% being better, like with the black salve. You know, how much more evidence do you need? It was good there. And, of course, we would look at individualizing a patient's treatment because we know there are basic things that are true to all of us. But beyond that, then we got to be very specific to each person, and we don't go, this drug works the same way for everybody, much less this herb works the same way for everybody.
And this actually brings the point about anecdotal response, because that's another very commonly used.
They dismiss it because it's anecdotal.
Exactly. That's exactly what they do. They dismiss anything that shows any validity by calling it anecdotal. But my question has always been that even if it works in 1 out of 10,000 people, to that one person who got a response, it's not anecdotal. It's 100% of their experience.
Yeah. Well, and conversely, like with the vaccine issue, when they say, oh, it's only 1 in a million that are harmed, of course, we know it's much more than that. Wouldn't that one case, that's 100% devastating or deadly?
And my question has always been, what if you were that 1 out of a million that it affected? Then would it be anecdotal to you? Or would you be as dismissive as you are as when you just quote the normal statistic?
Yeah.
Because people aren't statistics, and I think that's one of the you know, we can bring this argument into the realm of how medicine looks at people. And even going through training or in the practice of medicine, we often start to look at, and at least in the emergency room, and I know in certain clinics, you don't see what the patient that you're seeing, you actually see how many more patients do I have left to see. And it's like, you know, you have a countdown, like I've got 12 more patients to see, I've got 10 more patients to see, I've got 8 more patients to see.
Wow.
And you can actually see the difference in certain clinics that aren't like that. In fact, the place that we went for my wife, the hand surgeon, they were very different. It was not like the typical medical practice. In fact, they had some type of little sign that said, which I'm going to get in trouble by talking about this with my own staff, but they had a little sign there that said, you know, if you haven't been seen within 15 minutes of signing in, you know, please accept our apologies. We try to stay on time, but please let somebody know that you've been waiting. Now, my office, it's very common. Sometimes people have to wait an hour, hour and a half, 2 hours sometimes. It's sometimes really bad.
Oh, you are going to get in trouble for this.
Oh, I know I am. But here's the funny thing, though. I'll tell you, my patients, they usually, if they are going to complain, they usually only complain the first or second time. They never, ever complain. My existing patients, they never complain, no matter how long they have to wait.
Let me posit why this is the case. Because when you're with somebody, you give them all your time and attention and all that's needed, and they probably recognize that if you're not there, you're doing the same for somebody else.
That's you hit it right square on the head. I mean, it's you nailed it.
It's
my
so patients,
my staff actually says, the joke among my staff is there's only one thing harder than to get Dr. Buttar into a room with a patient.
to get him out of that room with
that's
a patient.
Right. Get me out.
So, listen, the only thing hard to do as well is to take a break, because we get on such a roll here together, and we're going to do that right now on the Robert Scott Bell Show. There's a lot more healing to go on this Advanced Medicine Monday with Dr. Buttar. And there's even a new caller question that came in. I think it would be fun. We can give a listen to that in a little while as well and give some answers about diet, lifestyle, some techniques. People are very curious as they're learning about this for the first time. So stay with us. We're coming right back on the Robert Scott Bell Show with Dr. Rasha Buttar after this.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Hello, this is Jonathan Wagner. We have an internet website, www.choosetobehealthy.com, that carries many of the products discussed on Robert's show, including 100% whole food chromium and selenium, silica, as well as sovereign silver and Nordic naturals. ChooseToBeHealthy.com features the Rolls-Royce of probiotics. It's Dr. O'Hara's probiotics. Dr. O'Hara, a world-renowned microbiologist, formulated a unique probiotic that blends ancient Japanese fermentation methods with 21st-century technology. No refrigeration is needed. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics contains the strongest lactic acid bacteria known to man based on scientific laboratory research. 6.25 times stronger. Quite simply, it works and works very well. So go to our website, www.choosetobehealthy.com, or call us toll-free, 866-424-1077. That's 866-424-1077. We're here to help.
What do you think? Call Robert now at 866-939-2355. That's 866-939-BELL.
Since the 1920s, people around the world have been using radio frequencies to safeguard the health of themselves and their families. Through this tested technology, pioneered by Royal Raymond Rife, researchers have found that specific radio frequencies can eliminate viruses, bacteria, molds, and parasites without harming normal healthy cells. Frequency technology could help millions now suffering from various infections, even arthritis, herpes, Lyme disease, and other painful chronic conditions. The BCX Ultra Frequency Instrument has been developed over a period of 30 years. The BCX Ultra is one of the most powerful healing tools ever. Turn ill health around. Enjoy life again. Start learning about the BCX Ultra today. Visit bioelectricsforhealth.com or call 1-800-936-6240. That's 1-800-936-6240. Call today and start the healing.
Robert Scott Bell Show.
We are back, and Dr. Bittar, you were saying about the only thing harder to get, you know, get you into the next patient is the hard, I don't know how to say this, but it's hard once you're with somebody. You don't want to leave them because you're really giving them everything you got, and we'd love to see more docs, and there are good docs out there. We know and acknowledge them. We can't feature every one of them, but when we find them, I try to bring them on as well and spotlight the good works that are being done, because this isn't a show about negativity, even though we have to acknowledge certain nasty things are happening out there, and we do so with the hopes that we can improve and give people different options.
Well, Robert, you know, let me just outline the reason that I do that, though. I'm not doing it because it's an altruistic component of me or anything like that. I mean, honestly, the reason that I do that is because one of the most important criteria in order to invoke the healing process is that the patient has to have the confidence in the provider to be able to help and guide them. And in order to do so, if the provider, the physician, is not able to, one, comprehend what the issue is, or two, is incapable of listening to the individual, sometimes it's just that. The fact that they know that you understand, or the fact that they know that they've been able to have an opportunity to convey their issue, in itself invokes that healing process to begin for them. So I want to make sure that every concern that they have has been addressed. And sometimes it takes more than an hour. Sometimes it may take more than two hours. Now, I've had sometimes where, you know, in 45 minutes we're done, or 30 minutes we're done, and that's great. But a lot of times, especially in the beginning, there's a lot of unknown. There are a lot of unknowns. There are a lot of questions. There are a lot of factors that still have the patient in a state of confusion. And so I have been told, if I've been told this once, I've been told this a number of times, I can't even count how many times, that the one thing that I do at the end of each office visit where I ask them, do you have any other questions? And then I summarize at the end what we have decided, what our plan is, and then I'll ask them again, do you have any other questions? The patients that I have done this with, which in the last probably 12 years has been everybody, they have told me that that one step has been the most relieving component of their it's like it takes a stress off their shoulders, because they know they have the opportunity to ask, even though they don't have – many times they don't even have a question, because, you know, after so many office visits, everything's been answered, and or that their questions have been answered, or we're at the same point of – knowing or unknowing, if you will. So we're in the journey together. So they don't need that hand-holding so much anymore. But they said that's the fact that they hear somebody saying that.
Right.
I'll tell you one thing that one of my mentors taught me when I was in medical school. Mm-hmm. They said sometimes just putting your hand on a patient's shoulder, you know, mm-hmm. that's all it takes. And I'm sure you've probably seen that too.
Yeah.
And so what is it going to take to individual for the individual to realize that, hey, this person really, truly wants to help me? Mm-hmm. I've told the people that have worked for me, I've told them, even if you don't know what to do, I've taught the doctors that the answer course come through there.
Yeah, I was wondering how you get that message across to other doctors that have come out of traditional allopathic training. And literally, I mean, they're getting.
It's not just allopathic training. It's anybody. Sure. I've seen a lack of this in many doctors that have gone through the integrative training and the natural training too, Robert. Uh-huh. I've seen many people that are naturally trained that don't have this, and I've seen and that mm-hmm. need to be taught this just as much.
Yeah,
I don't think it's traditional. I mean, although I think the traditional model, the conventional model, is more deficient in this arena. Mm-hmm. I would agree with that. But
you're right. In the holistic realm, it's true. I found that to be the case. You know, sometimes people would come to see me, and they had been to other homeopaths, and these others sometimes were working with great mysteries. In other words, I said, so after you had the experience with this, and you weren't too pleased, you know, did they at least tell you what remedy or remedies they put you on? Oh, no, he wouldn't tell me. What? Are you kidding?
That's a very common thing where patients have told me that the doctor will say, so is there any other issue? And the patient will explain to them, and they'll write it down. And I said, so what did he do? Nothing. Did he say anything? No. So he asked you the question, but he never did anything. That's right. He just asked me the question and didn't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
And so that what does that do? That that abates that whole process of healing. It basically seizes that process from continuing, because all mm-hmm. of a sudden in the patient's mind is, he asked me the question, I told him he asked me if I had a question, I give him the question, and there's no acknowledgement of it. They wrote it down, okay, well, I'll see you next time, and they hand you a prescription.
Yeah.
And it's something that
was
inside
it
yourself.
Was it trivia question? I mean, what?
Yes.
I mean, was there anything behind it? It was just social. I don't know. But you're right. This is really changing the way. And whatever background training you have or don't have, this is something that can help us in terms of just being with a friend, a loved one, and being able to understand these techniques. You're right. They can work for so many things in so many ways and provide healing well outside the realm of traditional training of any kind.
Well, that's right, and it's just simply listening. And I've had doctors ask me, "Well, how do you do this? How do you invoke that process?" And I tell them, "It's no secret. You listen to the person, and you give them the answer that they require. And then the question comes back: Well, what if I don't know? You know?" And it's the most absurd thing when I've been asked this question. So every day, well, what if I don't know? And I look at them. I said, "Do you have any? I mean, do you think that I really have the answer every time? I mean, I probably say, in my clinic, we probably say, I don't know more than any other clinic in the world."
Yeah, I know. It's a refreshing thing, a humanizing thing, to be able to say, listen, you might know more than me about this. You're talking to someone that comes to see me that has studied a particular area. So, yes, I've heard of it. I didn't have opportunity to look into it. I'd love to hear more about it. And I welcome the inflow of information. I could say, wow, another new thing. Just like in the experience with your wife recently, you know, you had to explore a whole new realm of area, put it to use and see what's happening. And it's like, it's going to add so much, not only for your wife and you, but look what we've been able to communicate, where it's going to go from here. Who knows?
Well, we've already got two patients that we're going to be utilizing this on, and my mind's been on fire for the last few weeks thinking about the other applications of how I'm going to be using it, which they haven't even thought about using, but we've already mm-hmm. got plans to institute a couple of protocols to see, and I'm not talking about with an appendage. I'm talking about with organ systems.
Nice.
Using it in a way, in conjunction with some of the treatments that we already do. So,
very exciting.
You know, it's one of these things that I do want to mention, though, because a person, my biggest pet peeve in my office is if one of my staff members says, I don't know. So I don't want to get everybody mm-hmm. off on the wrong stand, because to say I don't know is fine as long as the following words are, but I will find out, or I will do the research and I will give you an answer, or I will try to come up with a number of solutions. But just to say I don't know and leave it at that.
Yeah. Sorry, dude. Don't know.
Yeah, it doesn't work in my office. I will tell my staff, you don't know something, you better tell me right after you say you don't know that you're going to find out.
Right.
And that's basically, you know, our philosophy at the clinic is to make sure that if we don't know something, you know, you never, ever, ever act as if you know something when you don't, unless there's a specific time when I do act as if I know something when, even though I don't. Okay, this is my little secret. So everybody that's listening to this, don't go out and share it with everybody. But in a case of trauma, when everybody is losing their mind, that's all the providers and nursing staff and paramedics, everything, I will act like I'm the most disinterested, bored party there, just to bring everybody's stress level back down.
Sure.
And they would, you know, this was a technique that I did, because everybody would look at you and say, well, if that's the person in charge and he's so calm, then, you know, he's yawning.
Right.
Then what am I freaking out about? And everybody would calm down. And that's just to get everybody to settle down. And it's not really misleading people by acting like you know what's going on, but it's, you know, setting that.
Well, setting the stage for a healing. I mean, my goodness, to have that frenetic energy. You want to talk about a person that's in trauma, and then the family around them, it's only exacerbates. It's not helpful.
Right. That's exactly right. It's actually, think of it as a natural anti-inflammatory. I'm reducing the inflammatory cascade.
Yes, exactly. You are a non-FDA approved in that case. That's why it works. Anti-inflammatory.
That's right. That's right.
I love it. Well, you know, speaking of listening, we did have a call that came in recently. I thought we'd play it from a new listener, and maybe we can answer some questions. And if we don't know something, we'll say we don't know. Let's find out about this.
Hi, Robert. My name is Susan, and I'm calling from California. I'm a new listener, and I love the program. The information is fabulous. I have a couple questions. I hear a lot about the supplementation. I'm wondering what kind of diet you recommend for healing and being healthy. Is it raw? Is it, it's not vegan, I don't think. Things like that. What's the best diet? And what about carbohydrates? Because I think I'm intolerant to carbohydrates. Also, how do you do a coffee enema? And also, I've never heard of a green tea enema. Mm. Do we have to use organic green tea? Those kinds of things are on my mind. Just wanted to leave that. If you could stick it in a program, that'd be great. Thank you, Robert. I'm enjoying your show. I've become a faithful listener, even though I'm a new listener. Thank you. Bye.
All right, Susan, we appreciate that call. Fascinating, all the great questions she has. I think she's a prime candidate to get the book, The 9 Steps to Keep the Doctor Away, though. You know, when you're just new to this and you're just like, I need to, how do I do? What do I eat? I mean, there's a lot of big questions in there, but a lot of people have them.
Yeah, those kind of questions would be difficult to really do. You could do a show on each one of those questions.
Oh, exactly, yeah.
Not gonna cover everything, so... I would agree with you that the answers to those questions would probably be best suited for the book.
No, we don't want to blow her off at all. But I mean, I think, you know, one of the things we both have come to the same conclusion, you know, we realize everybody's got unique needs and biochemistry differences and tolerances and intolerances. But the one thing we would want to say to Susan is that make sure the food you eat, whatever it is going to be, is clean as can be. I mean, we don't need pesticide laden foods. We want to avoid genetically modified foods. Whether you are going on the Paleolithic perspective, and I hear more and more people doing very well on that diet, or whether you're a raw vegan. I mean, if you're, you know, I am not, and I've tested these things, and Dr. Batar and I have talked about these things, and I think that you've just got to listen to your body and learn as we go here.
Right. I completely agree with you, and I'm a very big fan of the Paleolithic diet. Again, Paleolithic diet talks about essentially what I talk about in the book is a Paleolithic diet. I even discuss a Paleolithic diet, but not in specific terms. But again, a lot of the stuff is covered in the book, and not to plug the book here, but
I don't mind. You know, I love it.
But it does have the questions about the supplements, and has the questions about the diet and many of those things. And I've been told that those were, you know, it was phenomenal information. I've had other people say that it wasn't enough information in the book, and they felt disappointed because they thought that it needed to be more beefed up, that part of it. But you know, what I think people forgot to take into consideration was that the book originally, when I submitted it, it was over 600 pages, and they dropped it down to 300 and some pages. So there was a lot of information that was taken out of that book that I wanted to have included in there.
Right.
Because I was told that you don't want the book to be too long, it'll be intimidating. And yet, Robert, one of the most frequently heard comments in my waiting room or from my front office staff about patients new patients that are coming in, they say that when they read the book, they were almost disappointed when the book ended because it was like they lost their best friend or they wanted to keep on going. I've probably heard people tell me that at least 4 or 5 dozen times, but I've heard my staff tell me that that's what patients have said too. And so I think that this concept of the book being too long or being too short, I think it just comes down to how much information, you know, if it's a comedy, you could have a comedy go on that's good, or if it's a, one of those movies that just drags on forever or a book that drags on forever, then people want it to end. So,
Well, it's a good thing to leave them wanting more. And of course, that's why, you know, I'm never bored with anything that we do here. You and I cover some things. Sometimes we cover ground that we've walked on before, but because it is so, I guess that information is so lacking elsewhere that, as we know, repetition is one of those aspects that we have to repeat certain basics that we cannot assume how basic we have found it to be in our lives that people are there. And, you know, Susan's asking sincere and great questions, even, you know, on the issue of coffee enemas and green tea enemas as another method to help the liver to open up and detoxify. I mean, these are very empowering things.
Well, actually, on those two latter questions, before I actually talk about the green tea enema and the coffee enema, I did want to say something about this when you were talking about sometimes we cover things that we've covered before.
Yeah.
I think the first two shows we probably tried to create an outline of what we were going to talk about, and I think we ended up so far off that outline that we never even exercised that futile attempt again to try to plan what we were going to talk about.
No, it's like where the spirit moves us, and right now it's moving us to another break so we can continue on. Advanced Medicine Monday, Dr. Asha Bitar doing some medical rewind as we always do. Check out all the links in his book, his best-selling book, The 9 Steps to Keep the Doctor Away. We've got that linked up as well. Coming right back with more healing after this.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Pharmacological research from universities all over the world have proven that papaya supplements have tremendous health benefits. At the One Stop Health Shop, that's one-stop-health-shop.com, you'll find our international bestseller, Papaya Leaf Extract. Its natural probiotic formula supports your white blood cells, reduces oxidative stress, and strengthens your immune system. Papaya is one of the richest sources of antioxidants in the world and up to 20 times more powerful than vitamin E. One Stop Health Shop carries a large fermented papaya product selection. Our supplements are all natural, certified organic, GMO-free, and made right here in Australia. But they are shipped to you anywhere in the world free of charge. Take advantage of our limited time down under prices and order now. Don't wait. Visit the One Stop Health Shop. That's one-stop-health-shop.com for all your nutraceutical needs and get free shipping on all products ordered. one-stop-health-shop.com.
With natural and man-made disasters and economic turmoil, if we don't get well prepared, we will most certainly regret it. Good readiness must include storage of high-quality food that will build us up rather than tear us down. Much of the storable food available is full of bad fats, salt, sugar, nutrient-poor refined foods, and even MSG. In response, EnerHealth Botanicals has created our 40-day and 40-night 100% organic preparedness pail. It's GMO-free and has a 10 to 20-year shelf life if stored at 60 degrees or less. Some of the items need cooking, some can be eaten dry, while some can be soaked and sprouted. These are selling out fast at third the price of storable food packages. Call us at 866-762-9238. That's 866-762-9238. Or go to enerfood.com, E-N-E-R-F-O-O-D.com. 866-762-9238. Or go to E-N-E-R-F-O-O-D.com.
Hi, this is Mike Adams inviting you to check out naturalnews.tv. This is a video site, a video community website that's been called the YouTube of the natural health community. It's pretty cool there. You can upload videos, share them, view other people's videos. Right now we're serving over 1.2 million video views a month. We've got a personal health transformation video contest on the site. We've got recipes, superfoods, lectures, interviews, anti-cancer information, diabetes information. I mean, it is just loaded with great videos, how-to videos, knowledge, wisdom, everything you need to know to pursue a natural health lifestyle. Oh, and it's also got a bunch of cool freedom videos from Alex Jones and Jesse Ventura as well, because we are a freedom-oriented natural health website, kind of a health freedom website. Check it out at naturalnews.tv. Again, that's naturalnews.tv.
Ladies and gentlemen, children of all ages,
Welcome to the greatest show on earth.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Robert Scott Bell Show.
Alive. It's alive. It's alive.
The masked man who outsmarted you on your gang is none other than
Robert Scott Bell.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled. You want answers?
I want the truth.
Robert Scott Bell.
You see, we're on a mission from God.
Dr. Pataris, we were talking about Susan's questions, of course, a lot of things on diet, and we talk in general terms and sometimes specifically about diet on the show. But the issue of the coffee enemas, of course, you know Dr. Nick Gonzalez. He's a big proponent of them in his cancer therapy and many others, Dr. Kelly and others. But, I mean, it's something that still a lot of Americans don't know. They're kind of taken aback when they first hear about it. But when they realize how toxic they are and how simple a method this could be to help them, I think it's worth sharing the information.
Well, coffee enemas are something that I'm a very, very big proponent of. All our cancer patients have to go through them on a daily basis. If you hear somebody say that you shouldn't do more than 7 enemas in a week because you can get addicted to it, I would not agree with that, especially if somebody is very toxic. Somebody has hepatitis, somebody has cancer.
Yes.
You know, somebody is very toxic. They need that. We actually use liver packs and coffee enemas mm-hmm. on a daily basis for the patients that are very chronically ill, like a cancer patient, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Without going into all the details, let me just talk about the difference between the green tea and the coffee enema.
Yes.
Two very similar techniques, but for different components. We don't necessarily recommend green tea enemas, although I think that they're very good and I have had patients use them. If there's any of my patients that are listening, please don't use the green tea extract that you take as a supplement for an enema. I mean, you can, but only take maybe half a teaspoon as opposed to, you know, and dilute that in water as opposed to somebody else that maybe just getting regular green tea.
Right.
Because of the stuff that we use, Robert, is something like 72 cups of green tea.
Yeah, that's too intense.
So it's very, very potent stuff.
And by the way, to Susan's question as well, of course, organic. You know, we're not talking about commercially grown teas that might not be clean.
Right, exactly. And green tea is a very significant source of antioxidants.
Mm-hmm.
It also is a metabolism facilitator. There's many components of green tea. And so depending on for what use you're using it for, if you're going to be using for detoxification, I would stick to a organic coffee.
Yes.
People sometimes, there's many different ways of doing coffee enemas. We have a very specific way of doing it. And just to cut to the chase, if people just go to, we'll have it posted. We'll have, in fact, I was just revising this week.
Okay.
Coffee enema process and our liver pack process. So we can just have that posted for anybody that wants to access that information. And it's a couple pages. It tells you how, why,
beautiful. As soon as you get that posted up, please let me know. I'll make sure I'll include it on the show notes, even if it's a day or two later. I don't mind, but I definitely want to get people, because this is a big question a lot of people have, and I'd love to get that information out. Quite empowering.
Absolutely. In fact, Robert, just make sure, you know, next week mm-hmm. that you remind me if I haven't already told you, but I literally had that on my desk on Friday because my head of nursing gave it to me to review,
mm-hmm.
And my nurse practitioner had just gone over everything to make sure we had updated it.
I tell you, some of the funniest jokes that I get are from my boxing instructor who's from Puerto Rico, and he loves his coffee. And I told him about it. He says, no, I can't do that. No. And he's just, you know, for those that have a coffee-obsessed culture, they can't imagine. Why would you put it there?
Well, actually, it's funny because in the book, you know, in my book, I talk about the fifth step, which is the vices. Coffee is one of the vices.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've had one of my patients tell me, Dr. Tarr, I am not going to give up coffee, but I will tell you that I have started taking it in the way that you recommend. And I said, "Way I recommend? I don't recommend coffee."
Yes.
And they said, but you do, and don't you remember the coffee enemas? That's how I start taking
it. Yes, that's classic. But yeah, it's so profound and how it can reverse a lot of issues, and of course, particularly with cancer, the most severe of these problems of toxicity. In addition to all the other things that you do, it's still a critical thing that somebody can do. And I would say, you don't wait for cancer. I mean, we all recognize that we carry toxic burdens, and these are things that we can utilize from time to time, if not in an intense way, in the case of those that are coming to see you.
Well, actually, Robert, let me, if you'll indulge me, let me just go over a couple of quick things about a coffee enema. Mm-hmm. In fact, in my office, there's not a single treatment that my patients ever undergo unless I have already undergone it myself and my staff has. And I don't care what the treatment is. There's only one exception to that, and that is a coffee enema. I have never done a coffee enema, but I had actually gone over all these steps again so that I can actually start doing that. And this week is supposed to be when I start doing the coffee enemas. And I just, for whatever reason in my head, I just never thought about doing it. It wasn't something that I even contemplated, but I realized that's the one thing that I have never done. Every IV treatment, we've got 57 different IVs we do in my clinic for all sorts of conditions. I've had every one of them, higher dose, multiple times, you know, just to work out all the issues so that if a patient's having some kind of an issue, I know what it is because I've already experienced it, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
And coffee enema is the only thing I've never done. So, and I mean, not forget about even the IV treatments, everything else from the hyperbarics, the Evox, the Zyder, the OnDemand, every single thing we do, IRRs, all the procedures. I'll even have other doctors do the procedures that I do in patients on myself so I know what it feels like.
Yeah.
Coffee enema is the only thing I haven't done. And so the reason this came to fruition was just recently, a few weeks ago, one of my patients had told me, and this is probably my third or fourth time I've heard a patient say this, where they were so reluctant. Most patients aren't reluctant to do it, but they were so reluctant to do it. But once they started doing it, they said it was the best decision that they made because they just feel cleaner, they think better, their functionality, their energy, everything has changed. So for the people that are listening, to understand why a person does a coffee enema, it acts as an astringent. It acts as a sponge to suck up all the for lack of a better word, toxins, but there's many components. It actually is an osmolarity type gradient that's being shifted, and it acts as an astringent and pulls stuff through the colon. Remember, the colon is where the nutrients are absorbed into the vascular system, into the mesenteric plexus, and then basically the body absorbs the nutrition. That's how it. That's one of the ways that the body absorbs nutrients, is from the alimentary tract or the gastrointestinal tract all the way coming down from the stomach through the small bowel, the large bowel.
Right.
And so as if the liver, is the basically the nutrient supply is picked up from the colon, absorbed through the mesenteric plexus, absorbed through the vascular system, taken through the blood, via the blood into the liver, and then the liver acts as a big oil filter. If you have a dirty liver, then all those nutrients are going into a dirty system. But if you have a clean liver, but the gut isn't clean, then even though the liver's clean, you're cycling back as it goes to the liver.
Right.
And goes back.
People can feel it too. If you know, some people will be more commonly saying, "Oh, have you ever had candida overgrowth?" And they'll say, "Oh yeah, I had the foggy head as such." And you know, whether you have yeast overgrowth or not, that same similar or sensation when you're toxic. For me, you know, as a homeopath, I recognize there's a point in the top of the liver in the back, on the right hand side of the back, which we call the chelidonium point, that basically matches the remedy, the celandine plant, chelidonium. And it can be sore to tell you there's liver congestion. Now, not a lot of Americans identify that. They'll say, oh, I have a pulled muscle, right? Rather than saying, I wonder if my liver is a little overworked or overwhelmed. And you do the coffee enema or you do the, you know, other detox, and suddenly, wow, I feel like a different person again, or a migraine goes away. All of these things relate to liver.
Right. And that's the point that I wanted to make, was that the liver and the gut are intimately connected. And so you really need to do both of them, because if you do one, if the liver's clean and the gut's not, or the gut's clean and the liver's not, you end up having that issue of what came first, the chicken or the egg. Because if one side is clean, the other one's not, the side that's clean is going to get contaminated from the side that's not. So they're both hand in hand. It's important to address them both. But we'll have the liver pack, how we do the liver packs and how we do the coffee enemas. We'll get those posted up so people can read them and understand them and then do them. And we welcome any feedback that you have on it.
Yeah, absolutely. We'd love to. 866-939-BELL. Just like Susan called, it's very simple for anybody to do that. Toll free, 866-939-2355. Give us your feedback. And, of course, if you ever have a question for Dr. Bitar, he's happy to take it on the air or off the air if there's some things that he has time. Not that he has a lot of time, but we get him every week for an hour here on the Robert Scott Bell Show, and we're very fortunate to have that opportunity. We're going to take a break, and we're going to wrap up Advanced Medicine Monday with Dr. Bitar after this. Stay with us.
For thousands of years, silver has played an essential role in safeguarding human health. Robert Scott Bell Show listeners know that Sovereign Silver, bioactive silver hydrosol, is the purest and most effective form of silver available. Only Sovereign Silver contains the smallest and most active particles in every bottle, each batch rigorously safety tested to guarantee the highest quality. At only 10 parts per million, Sovereign Silver outperforms other colloidal silvers 50 times more concentrated. Sovereign Silver acts faster than echinacea, oil of oregano, and other immune products. Tastes like water and has more uses than anything else for the immune system. And Sovereign Silver now comes in a topical first aid gel. Use Sovereign Silver gel on cuts, scrapes, minor burns, bug bites, itching, eczema, diaper rash, and more. Sovereign Silver is the number one selling silver brand in the U.S. For a free information packet to order or for a store near you, call 888-328-8840. That's 888-328-8840 or visit sovereignsilver.com.
Hi, this is Joshua.
And Anna Scurry, co-founders of Alive Foundation, and you're listening to The Robert Scott Bell Show. We here at Alive believe in health freedom and God's gift of choice. Alive is a nonprofit organization that will be holding its first annual Celebrity Health and Eco Benefit in New York City.
Why should you support? This benefit will be centered behind the world's leading natural doctors, celebrities, and organizations that are making a real difference in our world to give the people a voice that has not had a chance to be heard.
Did you know the number one killer in America is suicide by lifestyle from lack of education and know-how? We can change this. Stand with us in this mission of hope and healing to reach at least 1 million people worldwide. Attend the event live or watch it from the comfort of your own home.
Please visit AliveNewYork.org for more information or to make a donation. We cannot do this without you. We the people hold the key to our destiny. Are you willing to unlock the door?
The health world through the power of radio. It's the Robert Scott Bell Show.
Dr. Pitar, you mentioned cancer, of course. We talked about coffee enemas and detoxification. Stunning story out of Great Britain. And what's even more bizarre, the doctor's name, Robert Bell.
Yeah.
title it through Sandbags. Listen to this quote, Dr. Pitar. This is amazing. The chief, if not the sole cause of the monstrous increase in cancer has been vaccination. Dr. Robert Bell, once Vice President, International Society for Cancer Research at the British Cancer Hospital. Oh, my gosh, the word is getting out.
Yeah, you know, my first response is tell me something I don't know, but I guess there's a lot of people that still don't know or don't recognize that. But, yes, I don't know, Robert, how long have you been hearing me talk about that?
We've been discussing this for so many years, but I think it's just too funny that the guy's name is Dr. Robert Bell. Go.
That's funny. Yeah, that is funny. I was just looking at that, too. Robert Bell. What are the chances of that? Go figure.
I know.
So the name's Robert Scott Bell Show, right?
Yeah, the name is worthwhile, I guess. But anyway, I mean, yes, it's not new to us, certainly not to you. We've talked about it even on the air here and talked about the increase of all these chronic diseases, autoimmune diseases, and cancer, and looking at vaccination as that gateway drug or intervention that literally facilitates lifelong dependency on it, wrongly so, but this is what happens, on drugs and allopathic doctors that are not trained or not open to the things we talk about.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, in this article, too, it talks about how this is also agreed upon by Garth Nicholson, and I've talked to you about Garth before. I think you probably know him too.
Yeah,
he's he's the guy that actually was at MD Anderson when the doctor that was about to expose Harris County prisoners were being experimented on by some of the pharmaceutical companies that were producing vaccines. Harris County is where Houston is, and MD Anderson is located in Houston, Texas. And this doctor was mysteriously found in his hospital, in the hospital, in his office at MD Anderson, with a bullet in his head from a presumed suicide. The only problem was that the entry wound was in the back of his head.
Yeah.
And, I mean, of course, the media never covered this doctor, prominent doctor at a prominent hospital, who committed suicide with this bizarre method of committing suicide where you put the gun behind your head and pull the trigger and the exit wound comes out through the front of the head.
Yeah.
But Garth Nicholson talked about this thing. In fact, I think he's got a – I don't know whether the book ever came out. I have a copy of it, an unpublished copy, Project Daylily.
Yes, I remember we talked about that. This is, again, stunning information here.
the awareness, of course, you know, we're talking about a transformation of human consciousness, because without vaccinations, we see the children, growing into their full potential, which are, you know, they're considered superhuman, right? We talked about our kids that are healthy and they're super normal, so to speak, and they don't even know what to do. But these are the kids the way they're supposed to be.
Yeah. It's a way to, I've always felt that it's a way to dumb down the population. And when you dumb down the population, you control them better. And I think that's what you and I have discussed many times, Robert. And the fact that this Dr. Robert Bell, besides the fact that his name is Robert Bell, that's about the only thing shocking about this article. But I guess he's got a good name. I'm sure you'd agree he's got a great name, right?
Yeah, well, it's very powerful. It's a British thing. I've heard of, there are Robert Bells, but I thought of all of them that to say this is fantastic because, you know, these vaccines are like a governor on consciousness. They limit it so much. Yeah. On top of the physiological damage that they cause, it really kind of disconnects these children and then adults from really fully reaching their potential.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's just introducing a substance that shouldn't be introduced into the body. And it's not even so much the vaccine itself, which by itself, the whole theory behind it is flawed. And there's so many other people that know more about this that discuss it. But, you know, Sherry Tempany's book is what kind of turned me on to, and Sherry and I had lectured together in Malta. And that's when one of the times when I first sat down after one of my lectures, it was maybe after her lecture, and we had discussed some of these things. And when I learned about the human mutated cell lines that were in vaccines and some of the other DNA addicts from other species like monkeys and chickens and rabbits and dogs that are found in vaccines that are used for humans. And so when people start finding out some of these components, it's very disturbing to say the least. And when people realize the facts and then they have the opportunity to make their own informed decision, then and only then can you say yes, it's good or it's bad, because now at least a person knows what they're putting into their body, and they've made that own decision whether they've made the decision whether it's good or bad.
Well, the fight against fully informed consent, of course, is a fight against, I guess, revealing and acknowledging the great dangers, which are becoming more and more apparent every day. I mean, we got a flu season this year that say, oh my gosh, it's a mild flu season. Was it because they vaccinated 100% of the population, or the fact that more people are not getting vaccinated that this is happening?
Right. You're absolutely correct.
Yeah, so we really are living through and to some degree facilitating a lot of the sea change out there in our own spheres of influence that are growing each month, you know, each day, each week, in fact, because it becomes more and more apparent as people are, that get either we call it the divine discontent or just suffer enough that they say, this is not working. This old way is not where we've got to find something else. And they begin to open up because of the difficulties and pain and discomfort that they've felt.
You know, it's one of those things that I think as long as enough people find out that where's that critical mass when people get to the point where enough is enough. One of the videos that we posted that it was about Gardasil, and the video basically talked about some of the girls that have been injured, talked about a mother who discussed her beautiful daughter who died at the age of 23 after getting the Gardasil vaccine, and it had science with a little break, which would be a patient talking about their personal experience with it, and usually it's the patient themselves, you know, a young girl, 16, 18, crying, talking about, please stop this. You know, I was an athlete before. I can't even get up and can't go and have fun with my friends anymore. I can't go to school because I'm in so much pain. And then they go back to another factoid, and it's a scientist or a researcher or a physician talking about it, and then they go to another patient. It was a very powerfully done video. It was on YouTube. We posted it to our list, and my IT manager told me that it was one of the videos, probably in the top 10 videos that we've had as far as that elicited response from the public. Mm-hmm. And I think, again, it's more and more people becoming aware, videos, radio, becoming aware of this message and then passing it on through whichever means that they have to pass it on. Mm-hmm. And as soon as enough people become aware, it'll just stop because nobody's going to participate in it. Nobody's going to indulge in it. Nobody's going to, you know, they're going to refuse to take these vaccines. And that's the only way to really stop it, because if you wait for the government or for a medical organization or somebody to come forward and stop it, it'll never happen.
Well, you know, you're a living example as to, if you will, the stoppage that is not requiring permission. It's not waiting for somebody. It's literally at one point we as individuals or as parents say, no more. I'm not waiting for the government to ban it, because there are a lot of people that will say, oh, we got to move to boycott, ban. No, just stop. Stop utilizing it. It goes away. And that is a simple thing, but it is a peaceful thing. It is a nonviolent way to do it. And yet we have to be willing to defend ourselves, even if it comes to blows, not because we desire that course of action, but they have to know that they're going to take their lives into their own hands if they come after our children with these things that could take our children from us.
Absolutely. You know, to me, I would much rather lose a fight up front, meaning if I'm going to engage with somebody in something like this, I would rather lose my life fighting to protect my family mm-hmm. than to slowly have my family and myself wither away from a disease that was introduced into our systems under the pretense that it was going to be something that's going to help us when right. everybody knows that it's not. I mean, everybody with the sane head that starts looking at the science knows that it's not. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to be a lemming, and neither are you. And I think the masses are refusing to be lemmings. And so if you're a lemming, you probably, if there are any lemmings out there, Robert, they wouldn't be listening to the show.
Nah, probably not listening to the show. All those that do, of course, are pretty aware or on the road to that awareness. And if you have not already picked up the book, The 9 Steps to Keep the Doctor Away, Dr. Batar's Gift of Healing with that book keeps on giving. I've got links to that as well. We're out of time here. It is time to take a break until tomorrow's show. Dr. Batar, as always, man, such a great time together.
Robert, it's always good to be with you, and I'll talk to you next week.
All right, thanks. And in the meantime, remember this, that the power to heal is yours.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
So raise your glass if you are wrong, and all the right ways on earth.